It's a pleasure to welcome everyone to the 8th annual Baruch Mandelker Memorial Yom Yerushalayim Lecture. Yerushalayim is Ir Shechubra Lo Yachtav, a city which promotes Chibur, which promotes unity. And as much as Yerushalayim has always been at the forefront of the consciousness of the Jewish people, what we're celebrating specifically tonight is the very special Nisim V'Niflos, very special miracles that accompanied the Jewish people back in 1967. When we were literally saved, me'afela la'ora, from darkness to light. A situation which sure many people here remember, where people literally thought that there would be a mass slaughter of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, Rachmana Litzlan, and instead of not just being saved from the mass slaughter, but having the schus to have restored to us the Mekomas HaKadoshim, some of the most sacred places, the most sacred places on earth, into our possession, something that we give halal v'hodah, shevach v'hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this very special day. It's also a fitting time to recall Baruch Mandelkern. We welcome Mrs. Bertha Mandelkern and the family, Rosa Silver and family who are here tonight. Baruch was an individual who was also mechaber people, who was zochet to bring people together. And it's especially fitting that on a night where we commemorate the holiest city on earth, a city which has the potential and to this day is successful in being mechaber people, of bringing people of all different walks of life together, to remember somebody who spent his life doing exactly that in a geographical location that's somewhat distant from Yerushalayim, but nonetheless made that a focal point of his life's work and activity. Certainly his neshama should have an aliyah, and should continue to be an inspiration to all of us. It's a very, very special privilege tonight to introduce someone I consider one of my Rebbeim Muvhakim, Rav Meir Twersky Shlita, at the schus of being in his shiur in YU for a number of years, a daily shiur. I think we had the schus about 8 years ago, very, very early after I came to the shul, to have Rav Twersky come out and address us. On one occasion I realized that a lot of time has gone by, and we haven't had that special privilege and schus. It's a very, very special privilege to be able to call upon Mari V'Rabbi Rav Meir Twersky Shlita to deliver Divrei Bracha and Divrei Torah on this Yom Yerushalayim.
Poskin bechvod shel achsanya to come to the Lower East Side to give the Divrei Torah, what one comes with mixed emotions because of its association, past and present, with Gedolei Yisrael. One comes mit tzitzit, with the trembling. To this neighborhood. On the other hand, Rabbi Rom alluded to our long-standing friendship, and through him, so I feel a special connection to his kehila, and certainly come with a sense of excitement as well. And I thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to perhaps reflect together for a few minutes about Yerushalayim and really just elaborate a little bit, amplify the theme that Rabbi Rom sounded in his few words. Every day in the Amidah in Shemoneh Esrei, three times a day, so we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Yerushalayim Ircha Berachamim Tashuv, that you should return to your city, Yerushalayim. So it's an interesting description. Our association with Yerushalayim, the first thing that pops into our head, into our mind, when we hear the word Yerushalayim, is its Kedusha. It's that listed as the Mishnah enumerates it in the Esa Kedusha, in the ten areas of Kedusha that Yerushalayim stands out, its proximity to Mikdash, and Ircha, your city, is a political designation. It's a way of describing a political, municipal unit. Now clearly the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah in formulating the Shemona Esrei were reflecting Psukim. One of them again mentioned Ki'ir Shechuba Lo Yachtov, which speak of Yerushalayim, other Psukim as well, but it's an unusual description for Yerushalayim. The Gemara Megillah has an interesting question: whether or not Yerushalayim nischalka l'shvatim, meaning that everyone agrees that the rest of Eretz Yisrael was carved up amongst the 12 tribes. So any if you walk around Eretz Yisrael, so someone can tell you, oh, this was the portion of Shevet Dan. Where you are now is the portion of Shevet Dan. Where you are now is the portion of Shevet Zvulun. This is Yisachar, etc. The Gemara has a question: is that true for Yerushalayim? Was Yerushalayim also nischalka l'shvatim? Was it also divided up amongst the shvatim, or no? Maybe Yerushalayim was not included in the division of the shvatim. Interesting. In Tilim, in Kapitel Kuf Chavez, Shir Amalus LeDavid, Samachti Ba'omim Li Beis Hashem Nelech, Omdos Hoyu Agleinu B'Sharayach Yerushalayim. The Malbim has some very, very beautiful words. I just want to share a few of them with you. He gives a little bit of an introduction to this Kapitel in Tilim. Medaber b'shvach Yerushalayim. David HaMelech here is speaking the praise of Yerushalayim. Mitzayer es ha'umo b'chlala. David HaMelech depicts Klal Yisrael, the nation as a whole, kiguf echad, as a single body, hamurkav me'evarim pratim shonim, which is made up of different individual limbs. That's the depiction of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. The Yerushalayim hi ha'ir shechuvra layachta, the yischadu ha'ivarim ha'pratim. Through Yerushalayim, everything else coalesces and unites. Lihiyos guf shalem, to become, instead of disparate, disconnected, and disjointed limbs, to become one whole. Yochul ba ruach hachayim v'nefesh ha'maskelis v'nefesh elokis. To become one which can then be an abode for a divine neshama. One comment of the Malbim. So again, as Rabbi Ram mentioned, that Yerushalayim again is mechaber. Yerushalayim unites. The Malbim continues commenting on the rest of the kapitel. He comes to the pasuk Shalu Shalom Yerushalayim Yishloyu Ohavoyach. Inquire about the welfare of Yerushalayim. Her lovers will be tranquil. So what does that pasuk mean? So the Malbim answers again, continuing again with this analogy of, again, the Jewish people to a body. Yerushalayim is the heart and the brain which binds and holds everything together. He says, Im yishalu l'shlom Yerushalayim, if people will inquire about the peace, about the welfare of Yerushalayim, Nomar will answer, says the Malbim, Hatshuva, the answer is Sheshloma Toloi, its welfare depends Im Yishloyu Ohavayach. If her lovers, those who love Yerushalayim, are tranquil, or more accurately, we'll see in a minute, if there's harmony, if they're harmonious. Im Oave Yerushalayim Yihya Beinehem Shalva Pnimis, if those who love Yerushalayim, if amongst them there will be an inner harmony, The Malbim, one of the mainstays of the Malbim's commentary on Tanakh, as you know, is that the Malbim says there's no such thing in Tanakh as two words which are perfect synonyms. There's always some difference between all those words that we often perceive as synonymous. The Malbim says, again, with enough insight, and fortunately for us, he possessed it, one can distinguish what the difference is. So what's the difference between shalom and shalva, between peace and tranquility? So the Malbim says that shalom refers to peace in terms of external factors, let's say in a political sense. And shalva means inner peace. Shalom is sort of in terms of foreign relations, and shalva means internally. So the pasuk Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim, according to the Malbim, means as follows. If and when we inquire as to the welfare of Yerushalayim, so the answer is that it depends directly on Yishloyu or Havayach. Whether or not those who love Yerushalayim, is there shalva, is there harmony amongst them. Im oave Yerushalayim yia beinehem shalva pnimis, if there will be, again, this harmony, this inner harmony amongst all those who love Yerushalayim, so then there will be, again, there will be peace externally for Yerushalayim as well. Achar she'ikar inyan Yerushalayim hi achdus ha'uma. Since, again, the essence of Yerushalayim, what Yerushalayim is, what it represents, is that unity of the people. V'im kein, im yisore bein isheihem riv u'medonim u'pirid levavos, if there's going to be divisiveness amongst Yerushalayim's people, so lo nimtza shalom Yerushalayim. The reason, according to one opinion in the Gemara, Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, the rest of Eretz Yisrael is all apportioned to different shvatim, but Yerushalayim not, is precisely for this reason, because that which is ma'ached, that's which binds and unites, and through which we coalesce. So that has to be, again, above any division to Teshvatim. It can't be that the private property of any individual shevet, any individual tribe, because the whole function, the whole raison d'etre of Yerushalayim is that Achdus HaUmah. Now, when we speak of an ear, of a city in Halacha, so besides representing a political, a municipal designation, so a city also combines its inhabitants, in the case of Yerushalayim, not only its inhabitants, but its ohaveha, its lovers as well, that they're no longer only individuals, but they join together to form a tzibur. They join together to form a community. And some of them, just to give one halacha perhaps that illustrates this, the Rambam writes that me'olam lo ra'inu v'lo shamanu b'kohol me'Yisrael. We never heard of a community in Klal Yisrael, she'en lahem kupa shel tzedakah. We never heard of a community that doesn't have, again, a charity fund to make disbursements and allotments to the poor. Or in other words, the way the Rav Zichron HaLevacha would quote from his grandfather, from Reb Chaim, that tzedakah is not only an individual obligation, but it's also a communal obligation. So what an ear represents, again, is not only, again, a political or municipal designation or description, but it also means that its inhabitants are not only individuals, but they coalesce together to form a tzibur. So an ear represents achdus, Because again, when we live in a city, as long as if I live on a desert island, if I live somewhere with not part of a community, so I only have an individual obligation to tzedakah. I don't have to have a charity fund. If we live together in a community, we're part of an ear, and that's what ear represents for halacha, so then we incur communal obligations as well, because we formed, we've coalesced, crystallized into a community. Yerushalayim ircha b'rachamim tashuv, because Yerushalayim is the quintessential city. Because what a city represents, again, for us is more than its political and municipal designation. What Yerushalayim represents, again, what a city represents is that this is a community that has more than just all its inhabitants having their own individual obligations, now have communal obligations as well. So the quintessential city is Yerushalayim. Hence, the reference, the description to the Yerushalayim Ircha. Now let's shift gears for a moment. If we were to be asked, where did the Beis HaMikdash stand? Let's say a reporter comes and he's interviewing us, and he wants to know, the question posed is, where did the Beis HaMikdash stand? So I think most of us would probably answer, on Har Avayis, on the Temple Mount. That's where the Beis HaMikdash stood. Okay, if we'd be pressed for more details, well, I want to go visit, I want to see where it is. Okay, so then take the number 2 bus and it's in Yerushalayim. But we would describe that the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Beis HaMikdash was built on Har Avayis, on the Temple Mount. The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where he talks about the halachas of the Beis HaMikdash, first gives us a little bit of a, gives us a thumbnail sketch of the history of the prior Mishkanos that we had before the Beis HaMikdash was built. And specifically, the Rambam discusses, based on passages in the Gemara and Zvachim, when one was allowed to offer korbanos on bamos, on altars outside of the central Mishkan. So for instance, in the Midbar, when we had the Mishkan, so then we were not allowed to build, a person couldn't build a bam in his backyard, an altar in his backyard, and offer korbanos there. And then when we came into Eretz Yisrael, and Ezer Yeshua ben Nun, and we came to Gilgal, so then bamos were mutaros. Then even though there was one central Mishkan, but then one was allowed to build altars. So the Rambam goes and quotes how at certain times this prohibition was in effect. One could only bring korbanos, sacrifices, in the central, to the central address, the central Mishkan. And at other times, bamos were mutaros. And then the Rambam is telling us that once the Beis HaMikdash was built, so then forever the only place in the world where one can bring korbanos is on the spot of the Mikdash. So listen to how the Rambam describes this. Kevan shenivna hamikdash biYerushalayim nasu kol hamikomos kulan livnas bahen bayis laHashem ulahakiv bahen korban. He says once the Beis HaMikdash was built, and where does the Rambam describe the Beis HaMikdash having been built? Again, not on Har Avayis. The Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim. That's the most precise description and definition the Rambam can give us as to where the Beis HaMikdash was built. So this is especially striking, again, when we sort of remind ourselves, the Rambam quotes it right around here, also in the Halachas, that there was very little flexibility, there was no flexibility, as to where the Mizbeach within the Beis HaMikdash stood. Right? The Rambam writes that Mekom HaMizbeach Mechuvan BeYosef, that the where the altar stood within the Beis HaMikdash was very, very precise, and we have a tradition about it, and that's where the Akedah took place, that's where the world was created from that spot. So it's not as if you could really center the Beis HaMikdash any place you wanted in Yerushalayim. No, the Mekom HaMizbeach is Mechuvan BeYosef. The Mekom HaMizbeach, where the Mizbeach, where the altar had to stand in the Beis HaMikdash, is very, very precise. which makes it all the more remarkable that the Rambam's description of where the Beis HaMikdash stood is not that it stood on the Temple Mount, but that we should see that the main address that we should recognize is that the Beis HaMikdash stood in Yerushalayim. So a second sort of association or definition for Yerushalayim, the first one, Ke'ir Shechubra Lo Yachta, the first one, that Yerushalayim, again, the city which is Ma'achid, a city which unifies. The second is that Yerushalayim is the city of Beis HaMikdash. That's the second, again, association or definition with Yerushalayim. This is something we'll come back to a little bit later, Bli Neder, which is why, without downplaying or without underappreciating the significance of what happened 43 years ago, to which Rabbi Rum alluded, so Rav Zichron Levracha used to call attention to the fact that as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, so Yerushalayim hasn't been, the Yerushalayim of old hasn't been reestablished, hasn't been recreated. Because Yerushalayim, what Yerushalayim means in the fullest sense of the word, is Yerushalayim whose central point, whose focal point is with the Beis HaMikdash. So again, not to downplay or underappreciate what has happened, but just to recognize what's still incomplete. It's important when we give hodaah, when we give thanksgiving, that there are two types of hodaah, two ways of giving thanksgiving. The Ibn Ezra comments, a friend and colleague of mine, Meir Goldreth, I'm sure you've had occasion to hear from him, told me this in the name of the Shom Zalman Oyevach, that he called attention to this comment of the Ibn Ezra, that after Leah's fourth son is born, Yehuda, so Leah says, Hapam Odes Hashem, this time I'm going to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Vatikra, I forget exactly the words of the Pasuk, Vatikra Shemo Yehuda, and she names her son Yehuda, and then the Pasuk says, Vatamod Miledes. And then even though she had had four sons in quick succession, one after another, so now she stopped having children. So the Ibn Ezra understands that the way the Pasuk is describing things, there seems to be a little bit of a causal sequence here. That Hapam Odes Hashem, and then the result was Vatam Od Miledes. So he says that the Hodorah which Leah gave is, she gave Hodorah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now I have everything. Now you've given me everything and I don't need anything more. And consequently, when that is the Hodorah which one gives, so the Rebbe Shalom says, okay, you have everything, you don't need anything more, but I'm not going to give anything more. So Hatam Odes Hashem, and the result is Vatam Od Miledes. The other type of hodah, the type of hodah that we want to engage in, is exemplified by the modim deravonim that we say every day during the Chazaras Hashat. So the modim deravonim is we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Shechisan v'kiyam tanu, right, that you've kept us alive, that you've sustained us. But then the hodah leads into, and based on that, based on our appreciation for how much you've given us, Ribbono Shel Olam, so based on that, we ask you for even more. Kein techayenu eskayemenu. Based on the modem anachnu lach al shech yisonim kiyantonu, so that leads in, that segues directly into the kein techayenu eskayemenu. So the understanding that what it really means for Yerushalayim to be reestablished is that the definition of Yerushalayim is the city of Mikdash, so that the very real and profound hoda'ah that we all should have, but should be a hoda'ah of Kein Techayenu Eskayemenu, which should be a hoda'ah of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for how much He's given us, But came to Chayenu, Skayemenu, and Ribbono Shel Olam, we ask you for even more. But let's continue a little bit with Yerushalayim. So far we've seen again two associations, or two definitions with the Yerushalayim. Ki isha chuba lo yachtav, kevin sha nivna hamikdash bi Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a city of Mikdash. What's the defining characteristic of Mikdash? Let's look at another famous passage in the Rambam. The Rambam is accounting for, he's explaining to us his position on the following question. The question is whether when we were exiled from the land, so did the land forfeit its Kedusha? And similarly, when the Batei Mikdash were destroyed, so did the Mokom HaMikdash forfeit its Kedusha? So when we went into Galus Bavel, so did Eretz Yisrael retain its Kedusha? If one lived there at that point and would plant, would one have been obligated to set aside Trumas and Nisros according to Torah law, or did it lose its Kedusha? Same thing, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, does the area of the Beis HaMikdash retain its Kedusha? So the Rambam has a very famous distinction that he draws, and that he feels that he owes us an explanation for. The Rambam says he thinks that when we went into Golus, to Bavel, so Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha. It lost its Kedusha, and so many of the mitzvahs hatzlios ba'aretz, so many of the agricultural mitzvahs which hinge upon Kedusha sa'aretz were no longer operative at that point. The Rambam says, however, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, its Kedusha was unaffected. Its Kedusha was unaffected. Even though the physical structure of Mikdash was raised, but its Kedusha remained intact. And the Rambam gives us again his very famous explanation for that fact. V'lama ani omer b'mikdash v'Yerushalayim shekedusha rishona kedushasan lo'asad lavo u'bikdushas shor Eretz Yisrael lo kitcha lo'asad lavo. Why do I draw this distinction? So the Rambam says, l'fi shekedushas ha'mikdash v'Yerushalayim, right? They go together. Mipnei Hashchina, the special sanctity with which Yerushalayim in its entirety, and again Har HaBayis in particular, with the special Kedusha with which they were invested, was because there was a Hashras Hashchina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, again, as it were, there was a special intensified presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was induced into Yerushalayim, onto Har HaBayis, Ushchina Eina Veteila. And the Shechina remains permanently. The Shechina can't and isn't chased away by physical destruction. So Yerushalayim, again, is Ma'ached. It's the city of Mikdash, and as the city of Mikdash, it means a place of intense Kedusha. A place where we can feel greater connection, greater spiritual proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the truth is, and here I'd like to touch upon something perhaps a little bit delicate. Sometimes there can seem to be a little bit of a tension between these two associations with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim as a ma'ached, Yerushalayim as that which unifies, and to appreciate Yerushalayim in that sense, we have to feel and work on developing and cultivating and maintaining the Yishlayu Ohavayach, that sense of inner harmony amongst all Jews. But Yerushalayim is also a Makom Kedusha. To appreciate Yerushalayim, one has to have an appreciation for the Kedusha in Yerushalayim. And given the reality that the day has not yet come when all those with whom we share a love for Yerushalayim can appreciate its Kedusha. Given the fact that the day has not yet come when not all those who are Moser Nefesh, who risk life and limb for Yerushalayim, yet consciously appreciate its Kedusha, I suspect subconsciously that they do, there can seem to be a little bit of a tension between these two associations of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, again, as what's Ma'ached the Ummah, Yerushalayim, which unifies Klal Yisrael, Ki'ir Shechu V'lo Yachdav, which again, is Mikdash does, and also, but Yerushalayim, again, as a place of the Shechina, to appreciate Yerushalayim, to protect and preserve Yerushalayim, there has to be a desire for Kedusha and not to want and not to allow things to detract from that Kedusha. Obviously, there's room for tension here. How do we balance that tension? How do we deal with it? There is a very famous chapter in the Tanya. In Perek Lamed Beis, the Bala Tanya is talking about the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. And the Bala Tanya has a remarkable insight. He says, if you juxtapose two Gemaras, something very paradoxical emerges. The Gemara says in Psachim that if a person willfully commits averus, what we were talking about beforehand, most people are simply uninformed, uneducated, not beneficiaries of correct upbringing. But even if you take a more extreme case where a person willfully commits averus, so the Gemara says mitzvah l'snosa, it's a mitzvah to hate him. The Torah has a pasuk, kisira chamor sonach rovetz tachas maso. If you see the donkey of the person you hate and it's staggering under its load, so you have to help out. So the Gemara says, what is the Torah describing here? There's someone you hate? How can that be? The Gemara says, yeah, it's a person who has forced that hatred, as it were, again, because of willful averus, willful violation. And yet the Gemara says about the worst case of infraction, when a person is Rachmana Litzlan, deserving of capital punishment. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when talking about such a person, says the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha still applies. The Gemara says very remarkably, when we're unsure how the Torah wants the capital punishment to be carried out, so we should opt for the easier death, the easier demise, because you have to love your fellow Jew. So which is it? Which is it? So the Bala Tanya, Ushtehem hein emes, says they're both true. Sino mitzad harashe bohem, v'ahava mitzad b'chinas hatov. He says, of course there are things that are wrong, he says, but as it were with laser-like precision, it's never that the person as a whole is dismissed, is the rasha b'hem, that which is wrong within them. So yeah, Enoch and Omi, the Torah talks about that, that we have to have a sense of right and wrong. So the Rasha Bohem. But that doesn't preclude simultaneously loving the Tov Shebohem. And it's that delicate balance which makes possible for Yerushalayim to simultaneously be Ki'ir Shechu V'lo Yachdav, which unifies, which unifies, and at the same time that a person doesn't compromise on his devotion, on his dedication to Yerushalayim as the Makom HaShchina, as the holiest place on earth. Part of any Yom Yerushalayim commemoration is a sense of Hakaras HaTov, a sense of gratitude and indebtedness to the Chayalei Tzahal, past, present, and future, who risked their lives, and through their self-sacrifice, they're the instruments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua. And there doesn't have to be agreement, and more importantly, one is not compromising one's own principles, one's own devotion, unyielding and uncompromising devotion to Kedusha and to Torah, in having this sense of Hakaras HaTov, this sense of gratitude and indebtedness to those, again, who have and continue to make and be willing to make ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. And that sense of Hakaras HaTov, the V'ahavta L'Rayacha Kamocha, doesn't mean that we are agreeing or even yielding on any other belief and profound commitment that we have. The theme of Yishloyu O'Havoyach, of the sense of harmony and unity, which is necessary to preserve and protect the Yerushalayim, is timely today, not only because of Yom Yerushalayim. There is a famous question dealt with by the Gedolei Hadoros, dealt with by some of the giants of Jewish tradition. And then the question, simply put, is this. A few thousand years ago, our great, 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 great grandparents stood at the foot of Har Sinai and they accepted the Torah. So why is that binding upon us? Okay. So so that was their decision. So why can't we make our own decision? Why can't we say, okay, that's what they wanted? If my father would like to buy a gray car, I can say I want to buy a blue car. Why is that decision binding on us? There are different, each one very profound, each one true, different answers to that very seminal question. The Chavis Yoyah, when he talks about that question, refers to the Medrash Chazal that all neshamos of all generations stood at the foot of Har Sinai. And that basically, he says, the premise of the question is not true. That it's not that our ancestors accepted the Torah. We all accepted the Torah. That all neshamos, the souls of all future generations, stood at Har Sinai. And we all agreed to the Nasa V'Nishma Pact. Another answer suggested, I think the Avraham Avinu and later the Beis HaLevi say something along these lines, is that we know in Halacha, if a man or a woman is either an Eved or a Shivcha, if a man or a woman is a slave, so then their children are slaves also, automatically. That's a status which carries on. We just read this past Shabbos in the Kriyas HaTorah, Avodai Heim Asher Hotzeis Yosam Eretz Mitzrayim. But we agreed, standing at the foot of Har Sinai, we didn't just agree to a series of do's and don'ts, but we accepted avdus upon ourselves. Klal Yisrael accepted avdus upon itself, and Memela, so that means the children of Avodim, they're also Avodim. Another very profound answer. The Ramban Ramban suggests yet another answer. Ramban is talking about when a community issues a ban, issues a chayrim, and he's comparing it and contrasting it with nedarim, with vows, with oaths. And the Ramban then says the following: Shehu chol aleihem va'al zaram. That if a community, either a microcosm of the Jewish community, a particular city, or the macrocosm, the Jewish people as a whole, accept something, nira al, it's chol, it's binding, aleihem va'al zaram, nira she'af l'nedarim kein b'chol kabbalas harabim, k'da'ashkechon b'kabbalas harabim. Ramban explains the following, just to explain it in the using the terminology that the Rav Zichron Levracha used to employ is the following. The Jewish people, the phrase that the Rav used, are a metaphysical entity, meaning that the Jewish people are not just so many, bli ayin hara, millions of individuals. But again, as the Malbim was describing, again, this, the Jewish people are one. It's not just that the Jewish people is sort of a name, an appellation given to so many, bli ayin hara, millions of individuals. No, but again, just as all the limbs of the body, they're separate limbs, but it's one body. So the Jewish people are one organic metaphysical whole. Individuals, we're all mortal. But the Jewish people are immortal. There's a Gemara that the Rav quotes, it says, Tzibur lo meis. That a people, a community, doesn't die. What does that mean? There's no one alive today who was here 150 years ago. So what do you mean that Tzibur lo meis? How can the Gemara make such a statement? So the answer is, because again, the Tzibur is more, right? It's greater than the sum of its parts. But the Tzibur again represents this transcendent metaphysical entity. The Jewish people again constitute such an entity. And it's the same Klal Yisrael now as existed thousands of years ago. Says the Ramban, so why is it that Kabbalah HaTorah thousands of years ago is binding? Because the same Jewish people who accepted the Kabbalah, who accepted the Torah thousands of years ago, who stood at the foot of Har Sinai then, they are the ones who are going to come to Shul a week from tonight for Kabbalah HaTorah again. It's the same Jewish people. That's why in other halachic contexts, and now is not the time, for instance, where we're all familiar with the fact that strictly speaking, Arvis, Ma'ariv, which we're about to daven, is really only quasi-obligatory. And the Rishonim all tell us, but that's not true anymore. That was true once upon a time, but now that's just in theory. In practice, Kvar shav kibluhu alayu chova. At some point in history, it had already happened by the times of the Rishonim, so the Jewish people had decided that no, we're going to treat Tehillas Arvis as obligatory, as mandatory as Shachris and Mincha. I wasn't consulted. I didn't make in my bar mitzvah drasha, there was no such commitment that I made. So what do you mean that Tehillas Arvis is chova? So the answer is, because that was a Kabbalah, that was an acceptance, again, of the Jewish people as a whole. The Jewish people as a whole, it's the same Jewish people. Jewish people doesn't die. Jewish people, again, it's one continuous, uninterrupted existence, again, of this transcendent reality of Klal Yisrael. The focus, the emphasis on Yishloyu HaAvayich on that sense, again, of belonging, a sense of Jewish people being one. It's the focus of the 42nd day of the Omer, of Yom Yerushalayim. But the truth is, it's the focus of all 7 weeks. Because Kabbalah HaTorah, again, wasn't the Kabbalah, wasn't the acceptance of millions of individuals, but it was the collective acceptance, again, of the Tzibur as a whole, of Klal Yisrael as one, not of Klal Yisrael as millions of individuals, but Klal Yisrael as one people. And that Yishloyu Avoyach that Yom Yerushalayim reminds us of, is really something, again, which is paramount throughout these 7 weeks of preparation for Kabbalah HaTorah. The reason, the famous Mechilta that Rashi quotes, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, is that was the sine qua non, that was the precondition for Kabbalah HaTorah. Because Kabbalah HaTorah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, this was between him and not millions of individuals. It was between him and, again, this metaphysical people, this one people, rather than just millions of yechidim. So as we have a sense of hoda'ah, al ha'ova, thanksgiving for the past, which is combined with a bakosha lahaba, the kent chayenu skayimenu, that we should be zelcha again for Yerushalayim, really bebinyana, what it really means for Yerushalayim to be fully rebuilt, recognizing that what's so crucial on our part, that what we have to contribute is the Yishloyu Ahavoyach, is that sense of belonging, that and creating that sense of shalva, of harmony.
Amen.